Hello, everybody. You are listening to Limited Playtime, the board game podcast where we bring you board game reviews in 30 minutes or less.
Where the next episode is free.
I am Kyle Bolin.
And I'm Jason Cavallari.
And today we are talking about a big game.
Physically and metaphorically.
Yeah. Today we're talking about Eclipse, Second Dawn for the Galaxy. This is a game that we played in our room at Gen Con.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever you want to call that. Is that Gen Con, Jason?
I mean, we were there. I'm gonna say it counts.
All right, it's a Gen Con game then. This is a game I own, so we played this in the privacy of our own hotel room, and we got in one three-player game. I've played it a couple times, just kind of like playing two or three different factions at once, just to kind of like play through and learn the rules and, you know, just kind of see how the game works and everything. And other than that, I've played the app version of the original game, because this is actually a second edition of Eclipse. The first one was Eclipse A New Dawn, or just Eclipse New Dawn for the Galaxy, I believe. I own that on iOS, and I have owned it for a long time. So I've played it there, but then, you know, the only time we've played Second Dawn for the Galaxy, Gen Con, and then the couple times that I set it up and played it by myself.
Oh, I didn't know that there was actually a digital version of the first
there one. There was. I'm pretty sure you can't buy it anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that they delisted it some time ago, but if you own it already, you can always re-download it, I'm pretty sure, and just to make sure that I never lose it, I've never deleted it off the iPad that I... that I had. No, you know what? Because I got a new iPad, I had to transfer it. Anyway, that's not an exciting story. Let's talk about Eclipse Second Dawn for the Galaxy, the one we played in Meat Space, Jason.
Yes, let's do that.
It is designed by... I had to look this guy's name up, okay? It's designed by Lautapelle, which is a Finnish company, and the designer is Finnish as well. I assume some of these artists are Finnish, so apologies in advance for when I butcher all of these names. I looked up a couple videos of the designer pronouncing his own name, and I still wasn't exactly sure I was hearing it well enough to be able to replicate how it sounds.
I feel you did the due diligence on this.
Oh, my lord. So it looks like Tuco Takakalio, but when I listened to him pronounce his own name, it sounded like Tuktakalu, and... Oh. It was so fast. I don't know, but Tuktakalio, I think, is how you pronounce it. That's as close as I can get, I think. So he's the designer. He also, I believe, designed the first version of the game and then just kind of retooled it to be a little bit more streamlined. They gave it like some fancier graphics and stuff like that for the second edition that came out last year. Art is by Noah Adelman, Jer Kasanen, Juka Rajanimi, Sampo Sikio. I'm sorry if I did not get those right. Oh, my lord. The Finnish names are very challenging.
Yeah, they're quite a mouthful.
Yeah. So anyway, Eclipse, if you sit down and just take a look at Eclipse on a table, you take a look at that and you say, what do you think someone might say if they took a look at Eclipse Second Dawn for the Galaxy for the first time, Jason?
I think they'd say, is it like Twilight Imperium?
Yes, they would say, is it like Twilight Imperium? Because... on the surface, there are some sort of passing similarities between the two games. They are both grand epic space games involving space empires that you are controlling and expanding and, you know, like attacking and trying to like sort of like, you know, claim your own stake in space. They both have pretty gorgeous hexagonal tiles that you use for the board that you kind of build the board out with. They both have big miniatures for all of the ships that are going to be kind of composing your fleets throughout the game. And I'm thinking about it, and that's kind of where, to me, the similarities start to end. I mean, there's alien races that you choose to be like a faction that you're running, and they all have sort of asymmetrical powers. So they have that similarity in common, but the way they actually play is different enough that I don't think that you would consider them... you know, like the same game, essentially. They're not just a reskin of one another. They definitely can coexist without eating each other's lunch, I think, because Eclipse is kind of known for being a little bit more Euro in terms of the mechanics, and Twilight Imperium is known for being Twilight Imperium. So, you know, there's really nothing else like it, I don't think. But so let's talk about the core sort of like economy system of of Eclipse, because I think that's what it sets it apart from most other sort of like 4X games that I've played, or in the case of Twilight Imperium, right? On everybody's board, they have like a number of little discs, and those discs are covering up a number. And you use those discs to take actions during the game. So if I want to, say, like, explore a new hex on the board that hasn't been explored yet, I might move one of those little tokens, those little discs, over to my section of my board that shows the actions that I can take on my turn. And I would cover up the one that says explore, and then I would go through the activity of flipping over a tile and placing it and, you know, maybe taking control of it or whatnot. But then once I've moved that disc off of the original place, it's going to show that number. And that number is the amount of money I have to pay at the end of the round in order to basically, like, stay afloat, right? In order to not be penalized. Because everything you do in this game costs something. That's the idea here, is that taking any of these actions costs money for the Empire. Owning different parts of the universe, right? Like controlling different hexes out there costs the Empire money. And so you want to really be focusing on balancing your economy out on the board so that you can afford to continue taking the actions that you're taking and can continue to afford controlling the parts of the board that you control. Does that make sense, Jason?
Yes. I mean, yeah. Partly because I played it that one time.
Yeah. It'd be difficult. It might be a difficult thing to envision or understand if you're just hearing the verbal component and you haven't seen it in action. But essentially, mm-hmm. there is a chart or whatever, right? Like that shows like an increasing number of an increasing cost to your empire. And the more stuff you do or the more stuff you control, the more you have to pay in money at the end of the round. And so you need to be making sure that whatever you're taking out in the environment or whatever you're doing out there is providing you with the money you need in order to continue doing the things you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's this very symbiotic sort of like thing between the actions, the control, and the economy. Mm-hmm. And then after that, everything is kind of standard 4X, right?
Sure.
I guess, right? I mean, like, it's like controlling parts of this big space map, maybe attacking other factions and taking the stuff that they've got, maybe fighting some NPCs that are out on the board, you know, like worrying about non-money types of economies, such as, like, your resources that you build ships out of, mm-hmm. or research that allows you to tech up and kind of go up the tech trees and get access to better weapons or defenses or, you know, like, economy boosts, right? Like things that can give you extra actions every round or mm-hmm. extra money, or allows you to colonize planets that are more difficult to colonize and give you extra money or extra research or extra resources or whatever they use, whatever they call it, materials or whatever to build ships and stuff like that out of to build your fleets. That's essentially like, you know, the elevator pitch of what you're doing in Eclipse Second Dawn for the Galaxy. Often those things will then play into how many victory points you have by the end of the game, and that is how you win this game, by having the highest number of victory points when the game ends at the end of 8 rounds. So there's also a set ending to this game, unlike Twilight Imperium, which could go on for, I don't know, like 10 rounds if it wanted to, 11 rounds, 12 rounds, because everybody's just playing to a point score, right? Like a point,
right, yeah.
Target, like you're setting the point target to like 10 or 14 at the beginning of the game in Twilight Imperium. This one is just whoever has the most by the end of the time the game times out, essentially, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so you're going to go through 8 rounds of deciding how you're going to spend these actions on things like exploring, moving, building fleets, researching tech. I don't even remember what else was in there, right? I mean, there was a couple of things that don't even make sense, so we probably don't need to talk about like influencing and stuff like that.
But, oh, yeah. We didn't really have any kind of diplomatic stuff going on.
No, the diplomatic rules don't come into play until you're playing with 4 players or above, mm-hmm. and we were only playing with 3, so we didn't see that. But for the most part, it's a lot of like exploring, moving around on the board, getting into fights occasionally, not all that often. Mm-hmm. Trying to take the planets that fit your needs the best, controlling the parts of the board that are worth the most points, and then maybe getting into some fights because that also rewards you with points. It's just a variable amount based on how well you do and how lucky you get in this sort of blind bag that you pull points out of after a combat. So,
mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Anyway, so for a big 4X game with a lot going on, how was it to play, Jason?
I actually didn't expect to like this game as much as I did.
Yeah?
Because I like big, epic space games, but I'm not a huge fan of, like, of Euro games, generally speaking. There are quite a few that I actually do enjoy, but usually when somebody says, oh, it's a Euro game, my first thought is sort of skepticism.
Yeah.
especially when you throw it together with something that sounds like it should be like a big overproduced, you know, like thematic to the hilt kind of thing. But I ended up actually really enjoying this game. part of that, I think, was because the game we were playing was pretty non-confrontational, at least between the players.
Yeah.
We were confrontational with the neutral faction, and that was fine. Because the neutral faction also doesn't, like, spread out and try and take your territory or anything.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that part of it I enjoyed. It was, like, it didn't have to be a confrontational game for us to get to where we needed to be. I liked the exploration bit of it. So in TI, the map is set, and you know where everything is and so on. There's not a whole lot of, like, exploration per se.
Really not, no.
Yeah, so...
Only with the new expansion, because they have those tokens that you
those.
And then you, like, draw a card. But anyway, we're going to review the expansion for TI at some point.
Right, but anyway, yeah. But
it's still not the same.
Yeah, so the exploration in this game is, like, literally there's a blank space on the board, and you have to fill it with a random tile. So you don't really know what's going to be there.
And I think one of the other cool things about the exploration element of this game is that it doesn't have to be a blank space on the board. It can be any space around anything that you control, right? Like, you choose in what direction and in what shape you are going to build the map out to an extent.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, our map certainly wasn't connected between all the different places we were exploring.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier today, is that, like, I was really nervous about you guys coming and taking my territory, and so I tried to protect myself by playing this sort of, like, zone defense with my fleets, by putting them near the areas where I thought you guys might come through, which is basically where Dave had fleets connected to me. We weren't really connected down on the other side of the map, I don't think, ever.
No, I don't think we were either.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was I genuinely like that, sort of element of surprise. And then the last thing that I really enjoyed was that, whereas in Twilight Imperium you can sort of quote unquote customize your ships and stuff by doing advancements on the tech tree, but it's not quite the same, because in Eclipse you can, like, you buy a certain tech, but then you have to upgrade individual types of ships with the various tech upgrades that you've gotten, and not every ship can have every upgrade. Yeah, you can. So, like, I don't know, like, this one can have plasma cannons, and I can upgrade one or both of guns. Or
you can put anything on anything, really. You can put any weapon on any ship as long as it has the power output to power the weapon that you put on it, you know? Mm-hmm. And as long as you have the slots available to put it on. And you can replace the base starting equipment for any of the ships with new stuff just by putting a token over it, right? Because you have your ships on a player mat that shows all the different slots that they have, and the smaller ships have fewer, the bigger ships have more. The smaller ships have, like, you know, a smaller sort of power drive or whatever, energy drive, than the bigger ones do. But you can upgrade all of that, you know, with the tech upgrades that you get. And so you can really customize your ships to be what you want. I mean, you could make a whole fleet of glass cannons that just go out and, like, do tons of damage, but, you know, like, fold like a paper cup the moment anybody rolls dice at them. Or you can make, like, you know, a bunch of turtles that go out, or something in the middle. You can make really fast ships. You can make ships that go super far. You know, there's all kinds of different ways to customize your ships and your fleet to your purposes or whatever your heart desires. And that's a key difference between TI, is TI just has, like, sort of set upgrades. When you upgrade your fighters in TI, they're basically the same for every faction, unless you have, like, some sort of faction fighter. But even then, you don't choose, like, the individual components that go into that fighter.
Right,
in this game, you do, because they're so modular.
Yeah, and I really liked that. You know, in as much as I like Twilight Imperium, there's a lot of... aside from the asymmetrical nature of the different factions and their abilities, there's basically a lot of overlap between all the different units that you have. And I feel like in Eclipse, that system sort of eclipses the other one in that regard.
Yeah, it's a little bit more differentiation between the factions in that regard. I don't think that it is, like, a massive difference to the point where... I don't know, like, it doesn't leave me wishing that TI did it differently, but it's cool to have another game that does it this way, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm certainly not knocking TI. Like, I really enjoy Twilight Imperium. Yeah.
Like by the end of the game, you know, like we had... Your fighters are still of some sort of similar power level to another faction's fighters. But, you know, that other person might have gotten really lucky and found some sort of, like, really rare tech when they, like, you know, killed, one of the neutral factions or whatever, right? Like, sometimes they get, like, you know, like ancient parts or whatever that they can then just, like, put that on one of their types of ships. And now all your ships have this massive, you know, like, ion cannon or whatever you want to call
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
And because, you know, I picked up one of those, right? I picked up a thing that had, like pink dice or whatever that had tons of hits on them, but also there was that risk-reward element to it because it could also damage me, right? Like, my ships could blow themselves up because they're kind of, like, overpowered with this cannon. Right. And I was using it to just tear up the neutral faction ships, and I was like, well, I can also keep this on the ships that I'm going to kind of defend myself with if somebody decides to get saucy with me, which never happened. But I had some really fun interactions or really fun combats with the neutral factions of just, like, tearing through them, and a couple times being like, well, I blew myself up in the process, but I still got a ship there, so hey, I win, you know?
yeah.
That was really cool. And it did make those ships feel thematically different because they were blowing themselves up, you know, while also tearing through other things than the safer ships I started with or the ships that, like, you or Dave were using. Because I know yours were, like, relatively tough, right? Like, you had a lot of shielding and stuff like that.
Yeah.
A little bit of extra weaponry, but, like, nothing that was, like, super overpowered or anything. More like a nice, reliable fleet, whereas mine was very risk-reward. And then, I don't know, Dave's was, I think, fairly pedestrian. It was, like, the vanilla. I don't think he did tons of upgrades, but, you know, by the end of the game, they all felt like they had some theme going to them, but largely, like, similar power levels, I think. Like, if we got into a conflict, it still would have been close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The last thing I really appreciated about this game, and this is a pretty small thing, but it's the little things that kind of set it apart, is that each faction's ships have unique models.
Yeah. That wasn't how the game was in the original version of the game. You had to buy all of those separate, like, alien-looking ships as, like, an add-on pack or, you know, an expansion.
Yeah.
In this version of the game, they flipped it. So if you want the Terran ships, because if you flip over all the alien race boards, you've got some sort of faction of human on the other side. If you want all of the human ships that are just different colors but all have the same model, that's an additional thing that you have to purchase now, which I did not purchase because why would you want that?
Yeah, that's boring.
I know, it's boring. I want the cool, differentiated alien ships. They look way cooler.
They do look way cooler. I think that was a small thing, but it's a nice touch.
It was a really good decision for them to put that into this version of the game rather than the Terran ships. But, you know, it's nice of them to provide those two if somebody just wants to be a completionist and have that and still have the theme of, like, a bunch of human ships that they basically just look like variations of, like, Star Trek ships from Star Trek The Next Generation. So that's what they look like to me anyway.
Yeah. So how do you feel about it?
I like it a lot. You know, I think that it provides an experience that is unique from Twilight Imperium, and it's impossible to not compare the two because they are both big, epic 4 or 3X space games, empire-building games. Both take a long time to play. This one not as long as Twilight Imperium. You know, I think the minimum amount of time we've ever spent with Twilight Imperium is like 3.5-4 hours in a 3-player game.
Yeah.
And you're more likely to have like a 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 hour game if you're playing with 5 or 6 people. In this game, I think it took us 3 hours from opening the box, teaching the game, and then closing the box again. So, you know, probably about 2.5 hours of actual play time, and probably about 30 minutes of like setup, tear down, and teaching and everything.
Right.
We kind of taught as we went a little bit, but still, I kind of went over an overview at the very beginning with you guys. So this is a faster game, but it's still a long game. You know, like a 2.5-3 hour game is still pretty long, and that's still, you know, that's still a pretty serious ask for a lot of gamers. But you know, I think that the fact that it is shorter, it can play with 2 players up to 6, so it's got a wider player count by 1, but I mean, having a 2-player game versus a 3-player game is kind of huge for a lot of people. And just the way that it works with this sort of, like, you've really got to be focusing on your economy much, much more than Twilight Imperium. And I feel like the game is less emphasized towards building a massive fleet and spreading that fleet over as much space as you can.
Right.
You definitely want to take a lot of space in this game. You want to own a lot of sectors, but it's just not feasible to have the kind of fleet size that you build in a game like Twilight Imperium. And so you have to be really choosy with what that fleet has and where you put them. And I think that's cool too.
Yeah, that is very true. And one of my go-to strategy usually in TI is to like build up a whole bunch of ships and leave parts of my fleet in various locations so that they can protect what I have And the rate at which you construct things in Eclipse just certainly, it just doesn't lend itself to that kind of gameplay.
No.
I was worrying about the fact that, like, basically my entire fleet existed in one or two hexes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a little bit stressful in that regard, but as I said, we didn't really have a very confrontational game, so it right. turned out being okay.
Yeah, yeah. It would have been interesting. It'll be interesting, I think, to play this again and have a more confrontational game and see how that feels compared to the game that we had.
Yeah.
The game does encourage confrontation because you get points for fighting, but you can also get points for fighting the neutral factions as well. So, you know, there's no reason to go out and attack the other players until they have something that you want or need. So, mm-hmm. you know, like towards the end of the game, I started to think about it, you know, because it's like I was playing a faction, the plant faction, that gets points for owning more sectors, and I ran out of sectors to explore. Like, eventually, the game just depletes the number of, like, outer hex tiles that you can place, and the inner ring, which are, like, you know, two other levels of hex tiles, just gets filled up to the point where maybe you can't do that anymore either. Right. And so I got to the point where the only way I was going to get new sectors was by taking them from you or Dave. And I was really considering it, but I was trying to just find other ways to find points, and I was able to do that. You know, like, the game kind of allows you to get creative with it enough that if you think hard enough, you can probably say, oh, well, you know, if I tech up over here, then I can get, you know, a certain number of points by doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like if I decide to go over here and, you know, like if I increase the range at which these fighters can fly, then I'll have enough economy to get them into this hex and take out one of these neutral faction enemies instead of getting into a war with one of my buddies and then making the game real ugly at the end and everything. You know? And so I was able to do that. And I think I felt better about that at the end, especially since I didn't have the most confrontational race, at the table. I think you did. So I was trying to stay out of the fights if I could, but I started to see the appeal of it at the end of the game because territory gets so valuable and scarce, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I think more so than in a game like TI, because in TI, you're going for very specific types of points that are dictated by the victory point board, and sometimes they have to do with taking things from other people, but oftentimes they don't. And so, you know, like with this game, it's definitely going to encourage early non-confrontation and late confrontation, which I think is how a game like this should go, because that's when the confrontations are going to be more interesting, when everybody's got more interesting ships that have been differentiated and, you know, like bigger fleets. That's when it's more fun, that's when it's cooler.
So, yeah, for sure.
So I just think that this game does a lot of really cool, really brilliant stuff with the way the economy works, with the way exploration works, with the way that building the ships out works. All of that is really exciting to engage with, really fun to engage with. And even though I thought I was losing through the whole game just because it felt like I was like having pretty kind of crummy fights, I think I didn't make it through a couple fights after you guys had, and I just felt like I wasn't expanding all that well, I still was having a blast. And then in the end of the game, there's so much hidden points that I wasn't even right about the feeling of losing, right? There were so many different things that nudged points this way or that way that I thought you were in the lead, Jason, and you were last actually when we ended the game, because you don't know what those everybody has their sort of like victory points for combat hidden. I didn't know what you had, but I knew you had more points than more tokens than us, and so I was like, well, he's probably winning then, right?
Yeah, they were all pretty low.
Yeah, but you're the one that took out the Galactic Defense Center and the center of the galaxy and everything, and I was just like, man, Jason's having such a great game.
Which, not going to lie, was pretty exciting.
It was awesome. I mean, you had a very thematically exciting game.
I did, yes.
And so maybe in that way I thought you were winning. But, you know, like, ultimately in the end, like, the way the points played out was still interesting enough and varied enough that it wasn't obvious. And I think that everybody at that table, even Dave said he really liked that game. And he gave us very few opinions about many of the games that we played over that weekend. So this one stood out to him. And I think both of us said it was, like, in our top three of the games that we played over the weekend. So,
yeah, definitely.
Definitely two thumbs up for me on Eclipse, Second Dawn for the Galaxy. It looks gorgeous. It's got amazing table presence. It comes with game trays for every single faction so that you basically toss somebody a game tray, and those are designed not only to store the components for your faction, but to help you track all of the resources, both your income per round and the actual amount of resources that you have, like, sort of amassed for each of the three resource tracks. So that really helps a ton with both keeping the play space tidy and readable, and also storage and everything, set up and tear down. All of that's faster because of all the brilliant trays they've put into this game. So it packs up real well. It sets up really, really fast for a game of its size. You know, the only downside, I think, for this game is the cost and the availability, because it's out of print at the moment. I think they're about to do a third. I think they're about to deliver a third print run to the States. I don't know if it's available in other countries right now or not, but I'm pretty sure that the company said that they'll be available probably by October for people to start purchasing these copies. But from what it looks like, they've been like, people have been snatching them up as fast as they can provide them, because it's like, I saw it like listed on eBay or Amazon or something earlier for like $800. I think the game is supposed to run like 150, I'm pretty sure, something like that, for the MSRP. So very expensive game. That's the other thing that it has in common with TI4 is that, you know, the MSRP for it is pretty high. But if this is a game that you're going to get to the table, you know, a few times at least, I think you're going to feel like you got a big epic experience out of it. You maybe feel like you got your money if that's what you're looking for, you know, like an alternative to TI4, or, you know, like maybe you've always wanted to play a game like TI4, but you don't have a group that wants to play 8 hours straight, but maybe they could play three, you know, then this might be for that group, you know? Yeah. If you're the kind of person that just loves epic space grand, you know, like operas like I am, then you're going to buy this anyway, because you're going to buy all of them like I do, because that is my main jam in board gaming as far as themes go, is like the big grand epic space stuff. And this does that extremely well, like thematically it delivers and mechanically it delivers extremely well. I don't know. This is definitely like highest marks that I can give a board game, just objectively speaking. And then subjectively speaking, I have a really great time playing it, and I would, you know, be glad to play it any other time anybody asked me to. So,
a glowing review from Mr. Bolin.
Yeah, it's about time, right? I mean, we've had three in a row, or I guess two in a row, that was sort of like, eh. Or,
it's okay.
Eh,
yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. It's not the best. And now we're like, this is among some of the best games. You know, I'm not going to say it's like, you know, in my top 10 just yet, because we probably need to play it a few more times before it creeps up into there, and we have to do another revision on our top 10. But I think that, you know, like if I was going to do a top 50, I could probably easily place this in the top 50 as of right now, you know, as of today.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really, really good. And so if it appeals to you thematically or for any of these other reasons and the sticker price doesn't scare you away, I would say grab it as soon as you can.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Okay. Anything else you want to say about Eclipse, Second Dawn for the Galaxy?
No, me likey.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Good game.
Good game.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, if they would like to get a hold of us and let us know why robot android babes are better alien races to play than creepy plant monsters, how would they do so, Jason?
Okay. Well, to express your love for Metropolis. Sorry if that went over some people's heads. You can email us. It's podcast@limitedplaytime.com. You can go to the website, limitedplaytime.com. You can tweet us @limitedplaytime or go to Instagram @limitedplaytimepodcast.
Just in case anybody doesn't know, Metropolis is the prequel to Star Wars. It's all about C-3PO. So,
no, it's a lady C-3PO.
It's a lady C-3PO. That's true, yeah. Still. Okay. Yep. We'll be back in probably, I don't know, a week or two? We said maybe a week, but I don't know. We're going to decide here soon, eventually.
Maybe, yeah.
No later than 2 weeks from now, we'll be back. And you can look forward to that then, and we'll have more games to review that we played at the Gen Con.
Woohoo!
All right, thanks for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Later.
Bye.